We recognize his return as a divine being in the affairs of this earth in 1874. Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Now in verse 19, it says, "Refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." The word "presence" here is not the Greek word parousia. Its meaning is more or less out of the face of. And the Lord, which is referred to in the 19th verse, is referring to Jehovah, because it says in the next verse, verse 20, "And he shall send Jesus Christ." So, refreshing shall come out of the face of Jehovah, and he shall send Jesus Christ. To show one's face is a mark of favor, while to turn it back on someone is a mark of disfavor. We are told in Habakkuk 1:13 that Jehovah cannot look upon iniquity. He cannot recognize sin. He hid his face from sinners. When Adam, a perfect man, sinned in the garden, Jehovah turned his back on the human family. The human family learned for 6,000 years that the wages of sin is death. This was the permission of evil. Jehovah waited to be gracious until the appointed time. Then he would no longer utterly disregard the human family by turning his back, but would send them refreshment from his face, his favor, and would send Jesus Christ, his agent, in the restitution of all things. Acts 3:21 says, "Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things." The heaven must receive him. In other words, Jesus has been absent from earth, in heaven, during all the intervening ages, or the intervening time from his ascension after his death on the cross to the beginning of the time of restitution or the millennial age. Acts 3:21 definitely makes our Lord's second presence his parousia, and the time of restitution starts simultaneously. Now we believe there has been some misunderstanding with this scripture, because it's been over 100 years since our Lord's return. We should not conclude that if we don't witness blessings of physical restitution by now, that is, a worldwide healing of sick and raising of the dead, that the time of restitution hasn't begun. Restitution is a process. There are certain aspects of restitution that start immediately with the Lord's presence. And other aspects start later on. Individual restitution will come later on in the millennial day. And the most important feature of restitution, its completion, is when mankind stands before their Creator. The millennial day is over, and the mediator has stepped aside. Let us look into what Adam and Eve lost in the full sense of the word, and when it will be restored. In 2nd and 3rd chapters of Genesis, we read about the fellowship that Adam and Eve possessed with God in the Garden of Eden. We read how God planted a garden in Eden to the east. And there he placed the man he had made, the first Adam. It was a beautiful garden, was abundant in beauty and in food. A river went out of Eden, watered the garden, and from there parted four different ways. And God said it was not good that Adam should be alone, so he provided a companion, Eve. And God brought all the animals and the birds that were created and brought them to Adam to see what he would name them. Adam and Eve enjoyed this fellowship with their Creator. It says they could hear the voice of God walking in the garden. This shows the fellowship with God as originally possessed by a perfect human being. They could commune with God, not that they were had personal contact with Jehovah God, but no man can see God and live, but it shows that a perfect human being, he needs no go-between, and he needs no mediator. This is something which Adam lost, because shortly after partaking of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he was expelled with Eve, his wife, from the Garden of Eden. Now this is something which is to be restored to the world of mankind. Fellowship with God as Adam and Eve possessed it. When can it properly happen? It really can't take place until the mediator steps aside. When the millennial day is over, we read in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 24th verse, then the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And this is in reference to Adamic death, not second death. The great mediator will indeed put down all opposing rule and authority, and during the mediatorial phase of his reign will destroy from amongst the people all who would not obey him. Satan will be fully bound, and the incorrigible, all those who cannot show progress after at least 100 years trial period during this highway of holiness, will be cut off from among the people. When he transfers his kingdom to God and vacates his position as mediator, the world of mankind will be perfect. They will be justified. They will have been made right, made just like Adam was in the beginning. He was a just man. But then the whole world of mankind, the end of the millennial day, will be in that condition where they may be delivered to the Father. But as Adam was perfect, the Son of God, then he was tested through his loyalty to God. So also the world of mankind, at the close of the millennial day, being made perfect, justified sons of God, they will be tested, not as to their perfection of human nature, but as respect to their heart harmony with God also. We read in the 20th chapter of Revelation, 20, verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which were in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and encompassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that was deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. This is after the 1,000 years of Christ's reign. During the millennial day, that is during the mediatorial phase, Christ as the mediator stands between mankind and the full requirements of justice. And after Satan is fully bound, mankind had a very favorable opportunity for coming to a full knowledge of divine requirements. And after they had joyed the blessings of restitution to the full, this test comes with the loosening of Satan to see whether their love for righteousness is just a matter of policy, or whether they have reached such a condition of heart loyalty to God and righteousness that nothing could influence them in any other way. The mediator steps aside between God and man, and divine tests will be permitted to prove the faithful. If their hearts are not right, this condition finally manifests itself during this temptation by the devil. The scriptures say it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In this little season of testing and punishing by the by the hands of absolute justice, divine justice. This would not be possible if the mediatorial phase of the kingdom was still in place. Our Lord, however, is still the Father's representative in connection with this little season of testing by divine justice. Just as he was the Father's representative and agent before he came into the world as the Logos. All things are of the Father and by the Son. The Lord is also the Father's representative in the destruction of the devil. In Revelation 20:10, in Hebrews 2:14, it states, "For so much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also," speaking of Jesus himself, "likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Here again, this phase of restitution is completion when the world of mankind stands before God as perfect human beings, as Adam and Eve were, can't properly happen until the mediator steps aside and the kingdom is turned over to the Father, although the processes of restitution, bringing mankind up into this highway of holiness, will have been going on for 1,000 years. A phase of restitution and applying it to individual restitution for the world of mankind is the release from the death sentence. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All mankind will eventually be awakened from the sleep of death, resuscitated or revitalized." Now this is something which Adam lost, life itself. In Genesis 2:17 it states, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And the moment the death sentence was pronounced against Adam, his life was forfeited. The dying process began. He no longer could partake of the trees of life in the garden, which could sustain his life forever. And he was in death. He no longer had life. He kept sinking lower and lower into death. And finally, he fell asleep in death. One day, with the Lord, at 1,000 years, and Adam's life ceased in the full sense of the word. Within that 1,000-year day, he died being 930 years old. Now, Adam's posterity has never had life either. The spark of life that mankind has for a few years is not recognized of God as the life that Adam once possessed. Jesus' words in Matthew 8:22, he said, "Let the dead bury their dead." In other words, from God's standpoint, the entire race of Adam is dead. Those who are now in the grave, and those who are on the way to the grave. This phase of restitution, this awakening from the sleep of death, is not itself the resurrection. The meaning of the Greek word resurrection, it signifies to stand again, or to raise up again. It is a raising up again out of death into the full perfection of life which Adam possessed. It is not just the reviving of life from the tomb. When mankind comes forth from the grave, they are still called dead. In Revelation 20:12, it says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. They do not come forth perfect, but they must progress to perfection, mentally, morally, and physically. Their full standing or uplifting as sons of God will be after the mediator steps aside. Mankind will be awakened from the tomb gradually. The first to die will be the last awakened. They will come forth to a condition in which Satan is fully bound. Their uplifting will be under favorable conditions. Those who obey the good physician and who are in accord with righteousness will be blessed and uplifted. And those who would fight against the kingdom and oppose its rule in any particular way, after a reasonable trial, at least 100 years, will be cut off from amongst the people. It is also not necessary for the world of mankind that all must experience the grave or the tomb before participating in the resurrection blessings. Mankind who are now living, who will be living then on the earth after the church is complete, after who come through the great time of trouble, and when the death sentence is finally released, they need not die. But their resurrection, their standing up to full perfection, has its beginning by obeying the laws of the kingdom, by obeying that prophet greater than Moses. The church, however, the bride of Christ, they must experience physical death, because their prize, which they seek after, is to a new nature, divine nature, not to human perfection. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It was necessary to see the Lord, the captain of our salvation, should complete his consecration and actual death. So it is necessary for his body, the church, to fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. And they all must experience actual death before participating in the glory and blessings of the first resurrection. But when does this feature of restitution begin? The release of the death sentence for the world of mankind, including their subsequent rehabilitation. The mediator must be completed. That is, the Christ, head and body. And then the ransom merit can be applied to the world in general. This will be the beginning of the mediatorial phase of the Lord's reign. But the body of Christ must be complete. As the first Adam wasn't the father or life giver of the fallen human race until Eve was associated with him in generating this race, so likewise the second Adam, he awaits his bride, the church, to be complete with him in glory before he will begin to be the father or life giver to the first Adam's dying race. The scriptures speak about the man, Christ Jesus, a mediator between God and men, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In due time, when the ransom merit is applied to the world in general. The book of Job prophetically speaks of this time. In Job 33, verses 24 and 25, it says, I have found thee ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. This is speaking of individual restitution for the world of mankind, in which death and decay will find no place along this grand highway of holiness. Isaiah, in the 33rd chapter, the 24th verse, says, and the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. Now, another phase of restitution, one in which we can see happening around us today, is the beginning of a release from very hard or difficult labor. When Adam and Eve sinned, and they were evicted from the Garden of Eden, It's recorded in Genesis 3:17. God said, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread." And when God said, "Cursed is the earth for thy sake," the thought is that God has made the entire earth in perfection. And after Adam's sin, he cursed it with a blight. Because God foreknew Adam's fall into sin and the penalty which he would prescribe. So God prepared his garden, just the garden, eastward in Eden. It was a perfect place to live without it, with perfect food to eat, in an earth that had not yet been subdued. Adam was told to subdue the earth. His dominion was the entire earth. So when Adam sinned, he was sent out from a perfect place to an accursed or unfit condition, to an unsubdued earth, to an earth where he could make a living by producing and growing his own food, but it would be by the sweat of his face and by very hard labor. There has been a great increase of knowledge since the time of the end, but beginning with a starting point of around 1874, there has been a marked rise in the invention and application of labor-saving devices for the benefit of mankind. What we see around us in the world, such as modern inventions reducing hard labor, and these be understood to be the four gleams of the great tower of blessings to come. Hard labor is definitely a part of the curse placed upon Adam, Eve, and their descendants. Therefore, anything which reduces a part of that curse is scripturally a part of restitution. God's ways are not our ways of doing things. Neither is his thoughts our thoughts. His ways or means are much higher than our ways. With the lifting of the curse, God brings about a certain phase or unfolding in his divine plan. Adam's race would have deteriorated much more rapidly in the first place if it had not been for the necessity of labor and sweat of the face. Because actually, idleness is a great evil, leading to mental and moral degradation. So when the times of restitution start, the curse begins to be lifted. Mankind is multiplying rapidly upon the face of the earth. However, now the necessity and demand for human labor is decreasing. The hours of the work week are being shortened from 1672. It used to be to 40 and 35. This increase of liberty, increased knowledge of their rights, these increased blessings, because they fall into hearts of stone instead of hearts of flesh, where selfishness basically rules in the hearts of rich and poor. This lifting of the curse will be mostly misused and detrimental to the human race. It will help produce to the world a great time of trouble. One of the first works of restitution to the world of mankind is the tearing down of the old order, the dissolving and leveling of society. Isaiah 21:12 states, "The morning cometh, the millennial day dawns," and it says, "and also the night, a dark time of trouble." It certainly can be questioned that labor-saving devices, instead of being an evidence of restitution, in many instances are nothing but a curse themselves. It should be noted that practically any instrument or tool or device may be either a blessing or a curse, depending upon the use or misuse to which it is put. Some things, as automobiles and radio, television, telephone, all many inventions are great blessings when properly used. One can use them to obtain countless blessings in our day and to accomplish much in the Lord's service. One can use them properly to obtain great benefits. However, one can also misuse them with very degrading results. The same is true of leisure time made available by our by labor-saving devices. Atomic energy itself can be a very great energy saver when doing much good when it is produced properly. But the first use of the release of energy from the atom was a terrible weapon of destruction. We remember Nagasaki, Hiroshima. Mankind misuses the knowledge it has in the lifting of the curse. It builds ever greater weapons of war. The time will come when man has a heart of flesh. They shall beat their doors and their plowshares and their spears with the pruning hooks. Two things we must remember about labor-saving devices. They are not yet perfected, and they are not yet universal. Despise not the day of small beginnings. The world's present technology didn't arrive overnight. You don't go from Kitty Hawk to our modern airliners. You don't go from horse and buggy to our modern means of travel in one day. And yet, the world's means of travel still pollute the air. Our present means of transportation is certainly not perfected, but it is a means of reducing man's labor. We might be surprised if we knew what travel would be like in the future. Through the increase of knowledge, these labor-saving devices will be perfected and will ultimately enable mankind to obey God's command to Adam to subdue the earth and to make it his dominion. Subduing the earth will include even the physical calamities like earthquakes and hurricanes. These devices which are brought about by the lifting of the curse are not yet universal either. You know, we have been blessed in America by a higher standard of living than probably any other nation. There are other nations which have a standard of living 50 to 60 years behind us. And there are some people, nations, which are completely primitive. No scripture requires us to listen at the curse, which is dark and develop in its early stages in all parts of the earth simultaneously. But we are assured in the 67th Psalm, 6th verse, that with the full lifting of the curse, then shall the earth yield her increase. The Garden of Eden, which accommodated two people, will be expanded to include all of Adam's posterity, and the whole earth will be perfected. Today, in the world, we see the beginnings of many fulfillments of prophecy. One significant fulfillment spoken by many prophets is the regathering of Israel to their homeland. This is also a phase of restitution. When Jesus said in his first advent, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost," not all things were lost in Eden. Just a few days after that, Jesus said to the nation of Israel, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." The favor which had been exclusively there was now withdrawn. It had been said to the prophet, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." Amos 3:2. The nation of Israel would now, from its casting off by Jesus, have a period of disfavor with God, equal in length to their period of favor. Jeremiah says, "I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double." The word "double" in the Hebrew means an equal portion. The nation of Israel would be dispersed and driven to faraway lands. And after their period of this favor is over. Jeremiah said, I will bring them again into their land that I gave to the fathers. Both periods of favor and disfavor are equal, 1845 years each. Favor from Jacob's death when he blessed his 12 sons as a nation, the death of Jesus. And this favor from Jesus' death to 1878, when favor everlasting would begin to come. But it was a day of small things. In 1878, the Berlin Congress of Nations reestablished the rights of Jews to return to their homeland. But the fig tree began to put forth leaves. And we can look back now and see how much this accomplished. And when we look at the fulfillment and the fullness of this, the restoration of the Jews to their homeland plays an important part in the times of restitution. It is written in Isaiah 2:3, out of Zion, which is the spiritual kingdom, shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, the divine messages through the princes. Isaiah again speaks of this in 32:1, about the heavenly and earthly phases. He says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, heavenly phase, Christ head and body, and princes shall rule in judgment. Princes shall rule in judgment in the earthly phase of the kingdom, carrying out the decrees and the regulations of the heavenly phase. They will be the ancient worthies. Instead of thy fathers, it says in Psalms, shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. And in Isaiah 1:26 it says, I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Under the revealed new covenant, all the families of the earth will be privileged to become Israelites indeed, through faithfulness to the great mediator. Romans 11:15 says, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? We believe that Israel will be the first of the earthly seed to be blessed by the spiritual seed, and so obtain mercy through your mercy. Romans 11:3, the mercy of the church. To this regathering of Israel, to favor, to rebuilding of their waste cities and towns, starts before the heavenly seed is complete. Before the ancient worthies are on the scene, the regathering of Israel is a phase of restitution, because Israel will play a part as the channel of messianic blessings to the world of mankind. Another phase of restitution is the restoration of the truth. Here again, the truth, knowledge of God's divine plan of the ages, was not lost in Eden. There was a measure of truth lost in Eden. God said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Satan, speaking through the serpent, said, he shall not surely die. That was the original lie. And look at what it has led to. This error has led Adam's posterity to many false doctrines, confusion, and superstition. But the real truth, the knowledge of God's divine plan, cannot be understood without the Holy Spirit, because the deep things of God are spiritually discerned. Jesus told his disciples at his first advent, right before his death in the upper room, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. From the day of Pentecost, the knowledge of God's plans and arrangements was known to the early church. It is pictured in the early church as a white horse in the 6th chapter of Revelation. Horses are doctrine, white horse, pure doctrine. But the simplicity in Christ was lost. The next horse was red and black and pale, showing the change of doctrine. The truth, as the Antichrist took the rise to power, the bloodshed of the early Christians, the Dark Ages, and the almost complete extermination of the truth. In the parable of the sower,
The man sowed good seed in the field. Our Lord Jesus put his enemies sowed tares amongst the wheat. But how and when would the truth be restored again? When would one be able to play the song of Moses and the Lamb and the harp of God? When could one harmonize the Bible again to the last verse, the Laodicean church, the message of Revelation 3:20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It is an announcement of its presence to the church. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. There is a great feast spread before us, the serving of spiritual food by the Master. And Jesus said, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, when he arrives, will find so doing. Dispensing of meat in due season, divine truths become due about God's divine plan and character from the presence of the Lord, which be dispensed by a human instrumentality. This day, the restitution, the restoration of the truth lost during the dark ages, comes first to the Laodicean church. And when we look at the fullness of this picture, the whole world of mankind will eventually come to this knowledge of truth. 1 Timothy 2:14, we will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The prophet Zephaniah writes, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. This will be the pure word of truth, uncontaminated by human tradition. Saturday on the panel, it was mentioned about the sun and the moon would be darkened. Isaiah writes, Isaiah 30:26, moreover, the light of the moon, which represents the Mosaic law, shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun, which represents the gospel, shall be sevenfold. The moon shining like the sun, and the sun sevenfold. Isaiah writes and says, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in Jeremiah, it shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. In closing, we can see that the times of restitution, or the millennial age, the 1,000 years of his parousia, it is not a perfect age. It is a perfecting age. Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:8, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And then he writes and says, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. He says, nevertheless, we look for a new heavens, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. It is a perfecting age in which mankind will be brought eventually out of sin and death conditions back to the image and likeness of God. It can be properly said, we are living in the best of times, because the Heavenly Father has turned his face toward mankind by sending his Son for the restitution of all things. There are many wonderful things happening today in the world, the lifting of the curse, many blessings, and all who are begotten of the Spirit gave up restitution life to live eternally here on earth. But while this side the veil, the feet members can enjoy and experience the lifting of the curse and these blessings. And it can also be properly said, we are living in the worst of times. We are living in the days of the passing away of the old order of things, and we can witness that firsthand. The morning cometh, and also the night. It is the bright shining, the sunlight from the Lord's presence, which will produce the day of trouble, in which every evil system will be destroyed. The light of truth is to penetrate every subject. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, speaking of our Lord Jesus, it says, whose coming is his parousia, is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And the thought here is that his presence in the early stages is accompanied by an energetic operation of satanic energy. The devil will make a most desperate resistance to the new order of things about to be established. He will take advantage of every little circumstance and all the inherited weaknesses of the human family and selfishness to thwart the unfolding of this work. But we, as the key members, we can understand and grant. We can transpire around us. We can proclaim the morning cometh. The new day has dawned. The jubilee trumpet is blowing. The times of restitution are ushered in. May the Lord have his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Dan, for that study on times of restitution and many facets. There are keys that have not been turned in yet. We have three now in the 4 to 5 weeks. We appreciate your laughing and the food that they were to send in after the death. We just have a 15-minute intermission, and we're a little over now. We'll be spending the closing, and we'll rise and have Brother Dan finish this session. Our meeting, our next session will begin at 4 o'clock with Brother Bill Banks, Brother Dan.
All right. So, I really don't know what that
means. I hear a gracious Heavenly Father. We pray that we might be more faithful to the things and lessons and admonitions that we have in that holy scripture. We pray that we might be faithful to them, that I will give us the courage and the strength to walk this our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.